T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, we've heard a lot of opinions about this baseball thing. We've heard from a lot of writers, a lot of opinions I really don't care too much about, but I am intrigued by our next guest. Randy Galloway covered the sport for, I don't want to age him, but he's old as hell and he covered it for a very long time. He knows John Lopez as well, and joining us now, one of the best to ever do it, Randy Galloway. Randy, I've been hyping you up. I know you've been drinking beers and chilling for a while, so I'm hoping that you're not washed up and you don't make me look stupid. I do a good job doing that myself. I don't need you to make me look dumb.
Yeah, you can handle the stupid part yourself. I don't need to work on that, Landry. Well, hello, guys. And, yeah, what a fine mess we have here. Now, in retirement, I guess it's kind of like that old firehouse bell. You know, when a story breaks, and I'm thinking, how in the heck would I handle that? But that's, you know, 50 years in the new as a sports writer, about 30 as a radio talk show guy. And when this thing first broke, I'm going, boy, the Astros, they have stepped in it. Mm-hmm. They stepped in it, but I had no clue, and I don't think anybody did, how deep the doo-doo was going to go here. And it just keeps getting deeper by the day. The commissioner hasn't helped himself or the situation. I don't think the players' union has helped themselves. Where this thing ends, God knows. But there's only two questions, if you ask me. Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, we know the Astros, those players, they've disgraced themselves, disgraced the game, disgraced the franchise. But should players be suspended for this? And should the World Series title be taken away? Those are the two questions.
You know, we were talking about that a little bit earlier, Gallo, and my point on that was, in terms of public perception, it's already been vacated. I almost think that it's a futile exercise to say, well, they need to vacate this title. It's like the steroid thing. Those guys who were adamant about the steroids and were denying it to the bitter end, they've already kind of been, you know, banned, so to speak, and felt the brunt of the punishment, don't you think?
Absolutely. And here's a surprise to me is, you know, somebody, well, there are players that need to be punished. These players are being punished, maybe not to the extent that some people won't, like suspensions. But you know what? We've had, you've got reputations that are mm-hmm. destroyed. Mm-hmm. They're in tatters, and great ball players. And I know just personally, you know, there's two guys in this game. If I'm walking by a TV set or I'm flipping around and they're at the plate, I'm stopping to watch Altuve and Trout. And I'm a huge Altuve, well, like everybody else. You know, I'm an Altuve fan. But now he's tainted with me. Mm-hmm. I can't look at him the same way. But these players are being punished, ironically, and the commissioner brought this up yesterday when he was speaking in Arizona. They're being punished by their peers, right, more than anywhere else. And that hurts more than, oh, media guys ripping you, fans ripping you. This is coming from inside baseball. Basically unprecedented. They might, you know, baseball players, if they're going to rip their own, they usually do it undercover. They don't want it out. Even in the steroid times, which I was heavily involved in coverage, you did not hear players that much criticizing those guys that were using steroids. And now it's like, bam, bam, bam.
Yeah.
Player after player.
We've been talking about that, too, and I was talking about, man, Joe Paterno had people stand up for him. Art Briles had people stand up for him. Like, all, yeah. There were people saying free Aaron Hernandez after he killed people, and There's not one person outside of Houston defending the Astros. Do you think it's authentic? Do you think it's just a representation of today's, like, fake outrage era? Like, is it really this offensive?
I don't know. But that is, I mean, that's a great point. I'm going to give you credit. Landry, a hell of a good point right there.
Thank you.
So it is coming from, I mean, it's coming, bam, wave after wave. And that's why I said, look, they stepped in it, but I didn't realize it was going to go this deep, and it just keeps getting deeper. And, no, there's nobody in defense of the Astros. And, by the way, it'd be pretty hard to defend them, but the criticism to be this hard. Yeah, you, Darvish, let's take you. All right, we all know he was a joke in the World Series. We all know he got lit up. And now he's on, you know, well, you've seen his campaign. Verbal campaign against the Astros. It's like, this hurt me, hurt my career, hurt my reputation. Hey, 3 months after the World Series, he signed for $126 million mm-hmm. with the Cubs. I mean, how in the world is he going to how is he going to be hurt? Here's what I don't understand coming from these other teams. Somebody's banging on a trash can. Okay, now wait a minute. The catcher, the pitcher, the first baseman, they don't hear anything. They don't notice something strange after inning with the Astros at the plate, the umpire, home plate, first base umpire. What's that strange noise? Was nobody asking what the heck is the banging noise? If the buzzers were involved, buzzers, that would be a different thing, the buzzers. But we're talking about, I don't see how that going on that long, somebody didn't say something about, what's that banging noise?
Right. This is off topic, but I know Landry Locker was producing your show when you were in the Metroplex. What was the final straw from Landry that forced you into retirement?
I would say, you can't say one thing, John. It is the daily grind of listening to him.
Oh, you're telling
and
me.
The fact to just, and not even on the air. I'm not just the off the air, listening and listening. And I do have to point out, too, his love for the University of Texas. That ended up pissing me off a lot.
Me too.
We got that. Oh, you boys have got a nice mess down there with all this Astro stuff. Good grief! And by the way, one other thing. What about Tony Clark? When the commissioner says yesterday, well, we didn't punish the players because the union made us give them immunity for their testimony, and you've got players ripping the Astros all over the place. Now Tony Clark, union chief, has got to go into these clubhouses and explain why he didn't want players punished.
Mm-hmm.
And now the union has even come out this morning, I saw, and said, that's not exactly right what the commissioner said, but frankly, the history of the union is it's going to protect players. I kind of think the commissioner was telling the truth on this one, which makes it some real quicksand for Mr. Tony Clark.
I know you. I know you've always been close with Nolan Ryan. He's no longer with the organization. I won't ask you to give us too much details, but have you talked to him at all? What is he? What is Nolan up to?
You know what? I have not talked to Nolan since he left. In fact, I texted him after all that went down, particularly with Reed and then him, mm-hmm. and I never heard back. And so I said, well, he doesn't want to talk about it, so I'm not going to bother him. And if I had several people have asked me that, if I have talked to Nolan since it came down. But in a case like this, Nolan is the type of guy, he's not going to pile on.
Right.
I mean, obviously, he's pissed off at the owner. And I don't blame him for that. And, oh, my God, the owner's press conference on this a week ago. Ooh. But anyway, what a mess that was. But I haven't I'd like to know, and I tried to find out. But when he didn't answer the text, I went, well, he But at some point he will. But right now he doesn't want to talk about it.
I know you spent. I know you spent a lot of time around Dusty Baker. What are the Astros getting?
You know what? I don't know. Actually, I don't know Dusty that well. Just from him being a manager of another team, and then coming to town, or you know, going the other way, going to his town. I think they're getting as solid a guy as you can find, and I think number one for this situation. As deep as the doo-doo is, I think he's perfect for that. He's seen it all, done it all, and I think he handles that very well. People criticize him. He's not that good a manager, but he's a hell of a great guy. I don't know about the first part, the criticism, but I do know the second part. Everything I've ever heard or been around him, he is a great guy. He is a good guy for this particular time with the Houston Astros.
Well, my thing on what you just said is maybe that criticism was valid, but he's been managing National League ball for three decades. Like he's American League baseball is easier to manage. So it'll actually be probably the easiest job he's had. And it's probably going to be the most talent, right? I mean, that goes without saying.
Yeah. And without saying the talent, I mean, with the Houston talent is still there. It's going to be the cloud. And that cloud is going to follow, you know, it's everywhere you go. There's going to be a wearing down of this team because they go, you know, town after town. All right, here's a fresh batch of media who wants to know about the cheating, who wants to know the impact. And that just adds to it. You need somebody there that's strong at the top, and they go from there because – when you're playing 162 games, you know, the Patriots could kind of, when all that was going on with them in the NFL, they'd only play 16 games and it's once a week. Baseball, it's every night, every day. And you know, every 3 days, you're going into a new town. But that's, you know, it's going to take leadership at the top and a veteran baseball guy. You're not going to get that from the owner. He doesn't know spit. But you've got a, you know, an experienced baseball guy that I think will be able to handle that in Dusty Baker.
All right, Randy, we appreciate you for hopping on, man. I know that you probably got a tea time or whatever the heck you do now. But we appreciate you for coming by. We know you're a busy guy.
I love both of you guys.
All right, man. We'll see you, Galloway.
Right, Randy Galloway, the legend, the man, the myth, the legend here on Sports Radio 610.
He doesn't know spit.
The worst trade in the history of Houston sports. Do you know what it is?
I got some.
I got the one. You can give me all the lists you want. I got the worst trade.
Are you sure?
100%. The worst trade in the history of Houston sports. And we're wreaking the punishment for it right now. That's next. All right, here's a few things to look forward to for the Houston sports fan. I jumped the gun yesterday. I said it was 36 days to opening day. It's actually now 36 days to opening day. I got a little bit too excited.
Math can be hard.
For myself. It wasn't necessarily math. It was that I edited the doc, and then I didn't. I looked at the edited part of the doc. So I started preparing yesterday. That's what happened. And then we are 4 weeks away from the start of NFL free agency. Stanford Routt's going to have a Texans Power Hour with us at 1 o'clock for Well Spoken Wednesday. Guess what, man? He might interview himself. You never know what Stan, the man, is going to do. NBA players, they're now sounding off on the Houston Astros. We've heard MLB players criticize the Astros, but now the NBA is sounding off, and probably the most popular athlete in the entire country, one of the most popular athletes in the entire nation, LeBron James, has spoken out against the Astros. He went to Twitter, and this is what LeBron James had to say about the scandal in Major League Baseball. Quote, "Listen, I know I don't play basketball, but I am in sports, and I know if someone cheated me out of winning the title and I found out about it, I would be effing irate. I mean, like, uncontrollable about what I would / could do. Listen here, baseball commissioner. Listen to your players speaking out today about how disgusted, mad, hurt, heartbroken, etc.,
they are about this. Literally, the ball is in your court, or should I say field, and you need to fix this for the sake of sports.
It's just, you know, when someone like LeBron speaks, one of the most popular athletes on the planet, it resonates. And, you know, more and more people, Buster only wrote a column today that I just skimmed during a break, talking about how the Astros maybe can't be punished, but they should be censored. I'm like, what?
Censored? What does he mean by that? Like, I mean, don't put him on TV?
No, put it on official. Just like make it an official reprimand, if you will, that goes in the record. Well, who cares?
What do you mean by that?
Exactly.
No, what does it mean? Explain it to me.
Like an official censure by the by Major League Baseball of the players, that the players did this, that it's always going to be on their record. It's like you're getting written up. It's stupid.
What the hell is he talking about?
Yeah, it's stupid.
I don't understand that. And I think it's weird that LeBron James is like, I don't blame him for talking about China. I know a lot of Houston sports fans were saying, well, he didn't want to talk about China. Yeah, because he's got a lot of money invested in that. He's mm-hmm. a Nike guy. He's an NBA guy. That would be dumb, okay? Like, and he's not the one who brought it up in the first place. That was Daryl Morey, who, oh, by the way, deleted his tweet right afterwards. So it's not like he took a real firm stance. So let's get that right. But I don't blame him for talking about China. But for not talking about China. But whether it's the NFL – with kneeling and all that type of stuff, or it's the MLB and saying that Astros players need to be suspended, he sure as hell doesn't mind trying to impact other athletes' pockets.
Yeah.
Like, I get you looking out for your pockets, and my gosh, I would have done the same thing. I'm sorry. I would have done the same damn thing and shut up about China and kept making my billions. That's just me. And every NBA player did it, and every NBA coach, and even the most outspoken ones did the exact same thing. Steve Kerr, Greg Popovich, for the most part, were doing the exact
same
thing.
Well, my bigger point with LeBron.
The point is though, man, you're getting in other people's pockets, dude. Yeah. Like, you don't have to. I know he's been accused of being a front runner for a while. This is when it comes to front running, this is worse than if you were upset with him going to the Miami Heat. This is low hanging fruit right here that he should probably just sit out of right now.
I think there's two ways to look at it. I think LeBron is looking at it the exact opposite of what you just said. He's saying the Astros, by cheating, got into other players' pockets, which is a common argument that other players make. You know, people lost their careers, didn't get the accolades they deserve. We should have won the World Series. We know the storylines. So I think LeBron is just saying, from that same perspective, the Astros got into other teams' pockets that way. But I think the bigger point I was going to make here is, I mean, LeBron James is talking about this, the most famous athlete on the planet that is beloved. That has to at least...
No, it sucks.
It resonates, man.
It sucks, man. Yeah, man. This sucks. Yeah. Like, if I'm Alex Bregman and I'm having to hear all my peers say things, like, it's one thing, but then you go on social media and all of a sudden LeBron James is talking about you. Mm-hmm. That sucks for the Astros. That sucks. I mean, it's understandable, you know, from how a lot of the players feel. Some of them, I think, are being a little bit ridiculous and trying to kind of incorporate themselves in the story. But, man, that has to suck for Alex Bregman and all the Astros to see that LeBron James is even calling you out.
Yeah.
Which team, and also, I think Greg Rajan brought this up. It is kind of... It's kind of a triple whammy for LeBron James because all three baseball teams that he supported.
He's a Yankees fan, right?
He's a Yankees / Indian / Red Sox fan, I think. I can't keep up with LeBron or / Dodgers. So I think all three teams that LeBron James has liked in regards to baseball, all three of his bandwagons, as Greg Rajan put it, have lost to the Astros. So there is that. That's not it, though, in regards to the NBA. The OG John Lopez, Landry mm-hmm. Locker, Figgy Fig playing the hits. Mark Cuban, the owner of the hated Dallas Mavericks, weighed in on this, and he didn't necessarily take a shot at the Astros. He took a shot at the sport as a whole, specifically Rob Manfred. There was a time, once upon a time ago, when Mark Cuban tried to buy an MLB team. Just to give you some background, this is what Mark Cuban had to say.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, "Baseball is a mess right now, and they have zero vision to see them out of it. I'm thankful they didn't let me buy a team."
That is so good. It's good in a bad way, or it's bad in a good way, whatever it is. Because he's, you know, he doesn't want any part of it, and he's obviously pumping his own stuff up a little bit by saying that. I'm glad they didn't let me buy it. It's just a total shot at MLB.
One of the things that warms my heart the most is watching young
kids enjoy sports or talk about sports. Yeah. I love it. It reminds me a lot of myself. Like when I see my nephew, like when I get to take my nephew to a football game and I get to sit with him and watch the game and talk to him. And then afterwards he tells my
stepsister.
Well, he told my stepsister that was his favorite part of going to the game was getting to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
It means way more to me than it does to him. But I just like seeing, the kids get to talk about sports because it's so innocent. It's still passionate.
Yep, we were all there.
But a lot of them will surprise you and know more than, you know, most. And yeah. It's just cool. Like just sitting, waiting for the teacher to call you to class at the cafeteria table or whatever. What was some of my best childhood memories.
Yeah.
And I'm jealous and I'm envious and I adore that kids get to experience that. James Click, the GM of the Houston Astros, his son not only has these types of experiences, but his son has a dad who's in baseball. He was the former assistant GM for the Tampa Bay Rays. And James Click had to tell his son that, look, we're leaving Tampa. I know you got a lot of friends there, but I'm going to be the GM of the Houston Astros, so we got to go. Here was James Click yesterday at spring training, courtesy of Mark Berman of Fox 26, talking about how his 8-year-old son handled the news that they were going to have to move.
He took it pretty hard and at some point asked me why the Rays traded me. And so I had to explain to him that it wasn't entirely that way. But, he was great. He's talked about his feelings. He talked about how he was sad and scared and he was angry at me. And I thought it was so mature of him at 8 years old to actually express that kind of stuff. But he got to school the next day. He told a couple of his friends. And the first thing they said to him was, tell your dad, don't trade Altuve. And so as soon as he heard that, his friends started pumping him up and telling him about the team and the guys on the team, and he got pretty excited.
That's pretty awesome. I remember my dad and his best friend used to like grill me, like because I was probably about 8, to be honest, and they'd say, name every player on the Cowboys, name every player on the 49ers, because I had all that. I used to collect the little helmets that you got at IHOP, you know, all the cards. All that stuff. I was like a little trained monkey, man. I mean, it was so fun.
I used to always lay out like the newspaper articles from all week, and I would what's that, thumbtack or not thumbtack, sticky tack or whatever.
Oh yeah,
I would sticky tack it to the fireplace just to set up for the game, and I would have like a little headquarters and everything, and I would just be ready. I would just be ready to roll.
Yeah,
with it. But I mean, it's just that's cool. It's got to be cool for the kid. But I got to tell you this: I hope his kid doesn't get beat up for wearing his Astro stuff now.
He's
safe in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
He's safe in Houston, but I don't know, man. I don't know if you can wear that Astros gear anywhere else. Kids can be pretty damn mean. John Smoltz on MLB Radio, he was asked about this Astros controversy. He says that he understands the outrage to a certain point, but he also says that all these players, all these managers, all these media types need to be pretty careful about throwing stones in their glass houses.
I just think that people in their anger have to be careful and make sure they're clean when they're going to come out and spew a lot of anger. Got to make sure their club has been clean, because this is not the only teams that have done things. This is the one team that got caught. This is the one team that took it to the next level. And it was 3 years ago. And, you know, 1 + 1 is not always 2.
What?
What is he talking about?
What is that?
When is 1 + 1 not 2? Someone smarter than us, help me out.
He said 1 + 1 is not always 2.
1 + 1 is always 2.
Except it always is. Right?
I mean, you know the sayings. I was figuring you were going to enlighten me on this. I don't know what 1 + 1 isn't always 2 means.
That's not a saying. Maybe it is, but that's not a saying that I know of anyway, that 1 + 1 is not always 2. I don't get it.
I'm confused.
It sounds like he is suspicious of the game, and obviously he's been a pitcher, so he knows what what teams have attempted to do with him, especially because he was all about control and throwing the right pitch at the right time, you know?
Sure. Here's Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball. I don't know what to say about that, man. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know when 1 + 1 isn't 2. Here is Rob Manfred talking about the postseason. There's been a lot of conflicting words, maybe some confusion among Astros fans, baseball fans, as to whether or not the Astros used the trash can banging system in the 2017 postseason. Carlos Correa said they did. So it should already be a given, but Rob Manfred had to confirm that yesterday.
Your report indicated that the Astros continued to cheat into the postseason. The Astros players have said that they were not using the trash can system at that time because you couldn't hear it. How were the Astros relaying signs during the postseason?
The garbage can signaling went on in the postseason. I mean, there was conflicting evidence on that point. In an investigation, you often have conflicting evidence, and it was my view that the more credible evidence was that they continued to use the scheme in the postseason.
Can you tell us what that evidence was?
Yeah, it was statements from players.
And not only statements from players, public statements from at least one player. Carlos Correa said as much. It's funny how people get in their minds, they get a collective opinion, and it kind of spreads, obviously, through social media or whatever you want to say. And it's taken for truth. The truth has never been that they didn't use it in the postseason.
It's that you don't know.
Yeah.
Now you know. You do know because Manfred said it and Correa said it.
And Correa said it. Yeah.
Correa said they had it.
But
he said
still,
it was loud.
There's still this narrative of, well, they didn't use it in the postseason. Where did that come from?
A lot of the truthers on both sides of it, whether it's like the people passionately bashing the Astros where they can do no wrong, and then it's the people who are passionately defending the Astros, they mention stuff that isn't true as if it is true, and then they basically start arguing with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, they didn't steal signs in 1819. Okay,
yeah.
We don't know. Like, we have no idea of knowing that. Like, mm-hmm. there's no proof of that, and then it keeps going on and on and on. It becomes just one big ass.
That reminds me of a story, a great story. You know, I've often said, just real quick, little tangent here, because
it is
relevant to this controversy. So in the midst of the steroid era, okay, and it was kind of toward the tail end, I guess, but the Astros had Jeff Kent. And this is how Jeff Kent and I actually got to be pretty tight. You know, a lot of people think he was a jerk. A lot of writers don't like him.
Well, he was.
He was. But I mean, he and I, but
let's
he and
be
I,
honest.
After this moment, he and I like reached this understanding and he was like really cool with me, would tell me a bunch of stuff and would always talk whenever I wanted to talk with him, et cetera, et cetera. All right. So when he came to the Astros, somebody was asking him about the steroid era, right? And he goes, how do you know? They didn't take steroids, you know, the whole time we've been playing baseball. How do you know Babe Ruth didn't take steroids, you know, et cetera, et cetera? How do you know, you know, the Ted Williams didn't take steroids? You don't know because it's different. And he was really, really, like, you know, belligerent about it. So I wrote a column, you know, about that thing. I could find it, actually, at some point. But I said, there's only one problem with Jeff Kent's, you know, theory here. Steroids were not developed other than for horses until like the 1940s. So to say that Babe Ruth, you know, was taking steroids is just asinine. And so it was during spring training. So I get to spring training and I'm walking across the clubhouse on the carpet and you go, here, Lopez. And I really had just met him like once real quick. And he calls me over and I'm waiting. I'm like, all right, you know, he's going to start yelling at me, calling me, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, that made me look bad, man. I said, no, man, you made you look bad. I mean, and so we talked about it. I said, you had my interest, so I had to look it up. And so we started talking for about 10, 15 minutes. And from that moment, he kind of like, I don't know if he respected or if he kind of like whatever, the fact that I was, you know, I wasn't trying to be defensive. I was like, hey, man, this is what I found. And so he actually was really good with me after that. Babe Ruth did not take steroids. He ate hot dogs.
Well, no kidding. Did you see his fat ass?
He ate hot dogs.
Yeah, his fat ass definitely wasn't taking steroids. Like, let's be honest. And,
yeah,
he was fat. And he also never faced a Dominican pitcher either. Don't forget that.
This is true.
Don't forget that. Jeff Green. Can you believe it? Jeff Green has signed a 10-day contract with the Houston Rockets.
The Jeff Green?
The Jeff Green. Mm-hmm. He and Damari Carroll are going to join the Houston Rockets. How do you feel about Jeff Green?
Not well.
He's good.
He's all right.
Used to be.
So did Damari Carroll. But I actually feel better about Carroll than most people. Keep in mind, you know, it was awful. His stay with San Antonio. He was averaging like what, 3 points a game and 7 minutes.
I don't even know if he played.
He might not even played this year. But
I think they traded for him.
But whatever. He was a solid player before he got to San Antonio.
Yeah, he was all right.
Yeah, he was a solid.
He was
so if it was more of a fit than anything, well, then it might just work out here.
NFL news, Drew Brees, he announces he's going to be back for the New Orleans Saints. Jason Witten wants to play another year, but it might be elsewhere. He says he's willing to play elsewhere. Texans, they might have to replace Darren Fells. I think a guy like a Jason Witten, I know Ed Dixon's going to get released. There's going to be a lot of tight ends. You might actually be able to upgrade from Darren Fells. How crazy would that be to have bald-ass Jason Witten on the Houston Texans? Greg Olsen, veteran tight end, signs a one-year, $7 million deal for the Seattle Seahawks. He's going to go play with Russell Wilson. Apparently the Redskins were interested, but he decided to go to Seattle. The NFL Combine, did you know that begins on Sunday?
Yeah, they start doing testing, right? It's not going to be anything public until like Tuesday, correct?
You realize what that means, right?
What does that mean?
It means B.O.B. is going to have to speak next week.
Yeah, it does.
So we're going to hear from Bill O'Brien next week. King Bill, as I call him, the king, the newly crowned, officially crowned Bill O'Brien. And we're also a month away from free agency. Don't know what the Texans are going to do, but we know that these names are going to be on the open market. Tom Brady, Dak Prescott, Phillip Rivers, Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, A.J. Green, Amari Cooper, Chris Jones, Yannick Ngakoue, Jadeveon Clowney, and Shaq Barrett, just to name a few. Damn, it's going to be fun.
This is one of the best lists you'll ever see.
It's going to be fun.
I mean, how many all pros, much less pro bowlers,
gonna be fun.
Are there?
Justin Reed, how you feeling, man? Justin Reed, we know that he had the surgery on his labrum. How you feeling, man?
Shoulder's holding up good. I actually just got out of the sling today, so I'm making the right steps and getting recovered and getting ready for next season.
It's courtesy of Mark Berman. Reed was at a kids' meals luncheon yesterday.
At the airport?
No, he was not at the airport. He was at a kids' meals luncheon, which tries to eliminate hunger among preschool-age kids. That's what that charity does. Berman had some Jeff Green quotes.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think Jeff Green's worth Mark Berman meeting at the airport, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, he probably did, right?
Dude, I had like six media types text me or message
when we were talking about that.
Laughing about us making fun of Mark Berman going to the airport to meet middle relievers or like assistant strength coaches.
Who was it? It wasn't Covington. It was someone.
Yeah, it was Covington.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yes, it was Covington.
Honey, I can't go to the wedding. I gotta go meet Covington at the airport. Who? Be the first to get that sound. Yeah, you know what? You're gonna be the only to get that sound.
713-572-4610. And you know, like, usually when someone's at an airport and they're getting attention, like, people walk by and they're like, oh, damn, that's so-and-so.
Yeah.
Everybody has to go up to Mark Berman and say, who was that? Who was that?
Is that a man on the street?
Who was that? Who was that guy?
Is that a man on the street? Who do you think is going to win the Academy Award, sir? I mean, you know, it could have been like a man on the street interview.
The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. Well-spoken Wednesday. Stanford Route going to be in the building in 1 hour. Are the Astros going to have a hard time getting players to come here and play following this scandal? I don't know, but I think it's something that needs to be addressed. The long-term, short-term problems that the Astros are facing moving forward, that's next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.